Okay, my friends, how many of you have heard the story or the vision of the valley of dry bones that Ezekiel had? Amen? One of the readings that is recommended for the calendar readings this morning is about this vision, and I want to talk to you about this vision today that will actually link very well to our sermon title today, which is Looking for the Liberator. But first, I would like for all of you to help me in praying. Let's all pray. Dear Lord, we come to you this morning. We come to you just as we are. Lord, we come because we love you, because we need you. And we come because we want to hear from you, Lord. So I ask you, Lord, to use me as a channel, Lord, to bless all the people who are searching, who are asking, who need you to speak to their hearts and lives today. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Again, today's story, I'm going to talk a little bit about Ezekiel. Ezekiel's vision is an emotional story, and I'm going to let you in a little bit on what that story looks like. I'm going to try to paint that story to you a little bit, okay? I want you to see it in your mind, not in a book, in your mind and in your hearts. It contains the word that we've been seeing in our bulletins today, breath. But in the Hebrew word, it's called ruach. Somebody say ruach. Yeah, it's kind of guttural. You got to put yourself into it, right? Ruach. And that word in the Bible means, the term for spirit. But also, when it was translated in his Latin version, spiritus, it also could be talked about as breath. Okay? That's why we were talking, we saw that in our bulletin this morning. Now, what can you say about breath? What can you say about breath? The breath is the most immaterial reality that we perceive. Now, first of all, it can't be seen. How many of you are seeing your breath right now? Right? You can't see your breath. It is intangible. It cannot be grasped. You can't tell. You can't hold breath by the hand and let's go out for a walk. You can't do that. It seems like nothing, and just because we can't see it. But how important is it? Have you ever tried holding your breath when you have hiccups? That kind of works. I'm telling you, if you had hiccups, hold your breath for 30 seconds, and if it doesn't go away, at least you'll turn blue. Right? But breath is necessary. Breath is vital. It's important. The person who does not have breath cannot live. The difference between a living person and a dead person is that one has breath and the other one doesn't. Life comes from God. And breath does too, my friends. And only, or God, let me just say, can take it away. Amen? Seeing breath in this way, I hope it helps you so that I can try to explain to you how important breath is in our life, the breath of God. Hope it helps us understand that life depends on a spiritual principle, which is called the same word in Hebrew, it's called ruach. Our breath has a relationship. A really big and strong and close relationship to breath, to spirit, to wind. The Hebrew ruach, just as in the Latin spiritus, also designates the blowing of wind. No one sees wind either. Now, its effects, are they impressive, aren't they? I lived in Puerto Rico. Now, every 6 months, you know that you are either going to get some kind of effect of a hurricane or a tropical storm. And thank God that all the houses, or most of the houses in Puerto Rico, are cement. But we're ready for that. And we could see the devastation sometimes as the wind gets strong and it tears down trees and it flips things over. Impressive the way and the power of the wind. It drives clouds and shakes trees. And here in New York, when it's fall, you see all those leaves that you have to pick up afterwards. Blows it all off the trees. And it can be violent. It can whip up the sea and sink ships. The wind has always appeared to be some kind of mysterious power that God has at his disposal. Now, the prophet in this story that is very emotional tells us about how God took him to a valley. Picture this. A valley full of dry bones. A valley that would be more like a battle zone of fallen soldiers. That's the kind of vision that Ezekiel was talking about. This is a vision, and I have to let you know that I don't want you to get caught up on how this all happened, but just to think about the importance of what happens or what this represents. It begins with dried up and dead bones. No life. Have you ever seen a dry bone? What is the particularity of a dry bone? What? Okay, what else? Brittle. If you break it, it's brittle, right? What about no life? Right? The bone just there and nothing else. That's what he was looking at. No life. The prophet walked up among all these bones, and just imagine yourself walking in this kind of a scenario. Scary, kind of, right? And notice, just thinking about the dryness of all these bones. And clearly the point here is lifelessness. We need to think about that. My friends, we have to think about what happens next in this vision. Because then God, after Ezekiel was exposed to this vision, God asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? And then Ezekiel answers with some kind of an answer that was so curious to me. Only you know that. Why did he answer like this? Is Ezekiel just probably looking at all these dry bones and saying, really? Hello? You know darn well that they are dead and they cannot live. Or is he probably unsure? Did you think that he was unsure? Do you think that he didn't want to give the wrong answer? Maybe Ezekiel simply doesn't know when he saw this scenario. To tell you the truth, it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. God doesn't respond to him anyway. He just moves Ezekiel on. He moves him on. Here's what you're going to do, Ezekiel, he said. You're going to breathe life into these bones, and they're going to live again. What are they going to do? Live. Live. Wait a minute, my friends. We're forgetting something. Dry bones. That would have probably been, Natalie, our question. and seeing this picture, but they're dry bones. Now, Ezekiel did not hesitate. Ezekiel saw this, saw and heard the command of God in this vision, and he begins to speak to those bones. These bones that were dry, and these bones begin to come alive. Somebody say amen. Amen. Are you looking? Are you still in this picture? Are you painting it? Beautiful. Now, bones all of a sudden started connecting. Tendons and skin covering the bodies, and it was all of a sudden muscles and then the skin, but they're still not fully alive. They're not still fully alive. You have to do something else. Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy to the wind. I want you to speak to the breath. I want you to command my spirit. And Ezekiel does this. And the bones that were once dry, the bones that were brittle, the bones that were there started to burst, to come to life, to walk around again. And just in case, my friends, just in case you didn't get this, just in case you missed this, you missed the point. These bones, he was trying to tell Ezekiel, are you? Close your eyes, my friends, all of you. That vision I've been trying to paint that comes from the Bible of this vision. Just look at the bones. Very dry. And look at everything that... Put yourself in Ezekiel's place. And you have spoken. And you have done everything the Lord has told you. And you're seeing a miracle happen right there and then. Open your eyes, my friends. These bones, they represent us too. These bones represent our nation. These bones represent our community. These bones represent you and I when we lose our job and all of a sudden we don't know what to do. When the economy goes sour, my friends, when politicians get caught up trying to prove who can speak louder than the other, when we don't know what to do. These bones are us when we give up. And when we give up, sometimes we do. God does not imply, well, gee, my friends, Patchogue United Methodist Church people, I won't let that happen. What God does is he affirms that he will not let us stay there. He will not leave us like that. He will be there and he will give us the victory. He will liberate us and set us free. God says, in essence, I am the God of life. And I will give you life, and I will restore your life, and I will fill your life, and I will free you, and you will live. No matter what your situation is, you don't have to feel dry. You don't have to stay there. You could move on like God was moving Ezekiel on. Hallelujah. The essence, the breath, the spirit, the life-giving force that comes from God just changes things, transforms things. And when we give up, or when we feel that we are hopeless and don't know where to turn, God is with us. Tell your neighbor, God is with me. God is with us as close, you know, as close as what? As close as our breathing is. How close it is. Take a deep breath. Take it out. Take another deep breath. Hold it in. And when you let it out, say hallelujah. Let it out. As close as that breath, as close as that breath is to you, that's how close God is to you, the liberator. Hallelujah. With each breath in, we breathe God's breath. Hallelujah. We breathe God's spirit, Ruach. When we see what the wind can do, have you seen what the wind can do? It can be a cool, gentle breeze soothing us. But the wind can also move things around. The wind of God, the Spirit of God is moving things around at our church. My friends, believe that. It's not about a pastor. It's not about a ministry. It's about what can God do with the pastor, with the ministries, with the church, if you let him do this. And he's stirring up things around here. I can feel it. If you don't take off that jacket or whatever is being an obstacle and let him mess up your hair once in a while, because you will be blessed. Hallelujah. Ooh, I'm getting excited. I could probably go for 2 hours now. Woo! No, I'm almost finishing. Don't worry about it. Close the doors over there, Dave. My friends, we can be amazed by the power of God, by the breath of God, by God's Spirit. Oh, yes. Somebody say, oh, yes. Oh, yes. And you know what? We might get caught up in the details once in a while. How many of you get caught up in the details? Churches get caught up in the details. Sometimes what is not the most important thing, and we kind of backtrack, leave on the back seat the Holy Spirit and the movement of the Holy Spirit that is not always one thing comes after another, but that we should be able to say, oh, you're coming through. Do whatever you want, God. This is not just mumbo jumble of pastor trying to be charismatic. This is the common sense that we should be using in the church. We might get caught up in the details, in thinking that we need to do this and that, and we're missing the point, we're missing the blessing, we're missing the wind, we're missing the breath, we're missing the spirit, the Ruach. Oh yes, God's breath and wind and spirit blows in us and through us and gives us life. Opportunities. If you are here, you're a living opportunity. God is not the one who gave you another chance. He gave you a second chance and a chance after that one. And with this knucklehead, he's given many chances. The God of chances and opportunities. Even when we feel like giving up, even when it seems hopeless, even when it seems like it's impossible, God offers to us. He says to us today, here is my spirit, my child. Here is my breath. Here is my wind. It doesn't matter which word you use, spirit, breath, ruah, spiritus, whatever you use, just understand that it's always there with you, as close as the breathing breath, as close as the wind and the air, which you might not see, but it's right there. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. My friends, it doesn't matter which word you use. You're not alone. You hear me? Tell your neighbor, you're not alone. And if you're sitting alone in a pew, somebody go ahead and tell that person you're not alone.
By the way, if there is a pew that is, there's somebody there alone, you have to do some homework too. How about inviting some people in to be part of this blessing? How many of you feel blessed today? Come on now. Do you? Somebody say amen. The glory is all for God. But if you feel that blessed and God is your friend, because we have a tendency to, and I'm going to go on a little bit of a, I'm almost finished, I promise. What do you do when you have a friend and somebody comes into your area? What is the right thing to do? You introduce that person to the other person. Now, why in the world do we think that the God that is with us, as close as our breath is with us, why are we not introducing this friend that is the best thing that has ever happened to us, to other people? Why are we so scared to do that? It's not about making, how do you say proselitos?
I'm
Puerto Rican. I can't say that word. Proselytizing. It's about sharing, my friends. And you can share just about whatever you want. Why? Why aren't we sharing that beautiful wind, that beautiful spirit? You are not alone. You always have that friend with you. Share that person, the spirit, share that God, so that that person could come to you to church sometime and invite him to be part of the blessing. So long as you have me, says the Lord, you have life. So long as you have me, my friend, my child, I will continue to blow blessings upon your life. So long as you have me, I will be your liberator. So long as you have me, you will be free. May God bless you and God keep you. And thank you for your patience today. Your pastor loves you. Look into the big eyes of the pastor. There are some things I have to say sometimes. Even if it's uncomfortable, good. But God wants us to be alive. Let the wind continue to do what it wants to do. Amen.